Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Let's pray. Holy Father, as we come before you this morning, I pray you would give me the words to really exalt women. And most precisely this morning, mothers. Father, your word is very clear about a woman's glory. Your word is very clear about the design and purpose of mothers. Father, this morning, as we seek to honor mothers here this morning, but most importantly, in doing so, we seek to glorify you. We seek, Father, to present the truth of mothers in relation to your glory. I pray, Father, you would help us this morning to hear your word, and that you would help me, Father, to present it accurately with your glory in mind. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. Thank you, Father, that we may worship you. It is in Christ's name I pray. Amen. What is wrong with people today? It probably is nothing new. But what is wrong with the way mothers are viewed? What is wrong with the way mothers view themselves? And in the broader sense, what is wrong with the way women think about their great value in this world? One of the big things in the headlines today is abortion and the possible overturning of Roe versus Wade. And that will be an absolutely marvelous and wonderful and praiseworthy thing to happen. But I think we miss it. When we think about this abortion issue, in all reality, there is something that has preceded the problem of abortion. And no one ever addresses this issue. It's all about the unborn child. But we don't think about the mother. We don't think about why there are mothers. And the women that are having these abortions do not understand their glory. They do not understand what God has designed in them in this world. And so we need to look at that whole issue totally different. And I think today is the perfect day to do it. We're not going to harp on that issue today. But I want us to think about this, because it is in the headlines today. And to ask ourselves the question, why does this happen? How can a woman, or even the father of the child, allow such a thing? I believe the real issue here is the fact that we don't understand the work of God. We don't understand the premise behind the beautiful nature and exaltation of motherhood. I mean, let's be honest. Nowadays, if a woman stays home to care for her children, they're looked down upon. They're ridiculed. What is wrong with the way people think? What is wrong with the way the church thinks? See, if we would begin to think in the right direction, going through the right aspect of God's order and prescription, and thinking about why, Why should men and women glory in motherhood? That's what we're missing. And that's what we're going to look at today. So look at our text. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Have you ever stopped to think what this is talking about? Have you ever stopped to think about what is really being said here? It's not just some statement of fact. There's something here that is just absolutely unbelievable. Men, I want you to think about this. Because the belittlement of mothers starts from the men. And how arrogant and pompous are we? I mean, after all, aren't we the ones that God created to be the head of the home? Aren't we the ones that are to be submitted to? What are mothers? God granted women something very precious. Something that men were not granted. When we look at this text, we look at this and say, well, she's the mother of all the living. So we look at that and go, well, yeah, she was the first mother. Okay? And of course, we're not talking about necessarily, you know, all livestock and all the animals, although we could look at it that way. She was the mother, the female side of the creation of man. And God told us in creation that we are to take dominion over all things. So in a sense, you could look at it that way, but I think it's much more specific. I think it has to do directly with the fact that Adam named her Eve. What does the word Eve mean? Now, if we look in the Hebrew, it's a little, you know, it's not as precise. In the Hebrew, it is interesting, though. There are some really important things we need to see here. Because in the Hebrew, it talks about how a mother is the bond of the family. Oh, well, that was a tough one for us men, wasn't it? But if you think about it, we can see the reality of that. The men are told to go earn, to protect, to provide for. Well, who's holding that family together? Well, he's off doing what he's called to do. It's the mother. The mother brings the bond to the family. Children, think about what I'm saying. Because that's another issue. How children, and I am not talking about children by age. More importantly, adult children. Do we not realize that the mother is the one who bonded the children? The mother is the one that set foundations in their life. The mother is the one that holds the family together while the husband is out doing what God called him to do. Can you imagine? And why do we see the problems today? Well, some people might not like to hear this, but why are families in such disarray today? Because the women are out trying to do the man's job and there's nobody doing mom's job. See how important this is? Mother is the bond of the family. That's the most important aspect of living life as a mother. I mean, that's amazing, actually, the bond of the family. But if you look in the Septuagint, and you look how the Greek, how this word was translated into the Greek, the word means one thing. life. Eve means life. Oh, what is that? Why is that so important to understand? Listen to this verse again. Adam called his wife's name life because she was the mother of all the living. All of life. Everyone in this room that is living is because of your mom. See, man is going to have an awful hard time bringing life into the world. Wasn't designed for it. A mother is the source of human existence in the physical. Now you might be beginning to understand why we have such a problem with abortion. Because mothers don't understand. They are the source of life. Just like rain is the source of growing, bringing life to seed, a mother is the one who brings life to the seed of man. Can you look at the women in this room and realize how valuable they are? They've been given a glory that man can't even begin to even fathom. For all of us men in this room that have witnessed, gone through the pregnancy with their wives, witnessed the birth of their children. I have 5 children. And it never ceased to amaze me what God did in my wife, the giver of life. She is the one that gave birth Not me. Because here's the deal. You hear this nowadays. Yeah, my wife and I are pregnant. No. I'm sorry, but when my wife was pregnant with my 5 children, I was not pregnant. My job in producing that child didn't take very long. But the mother is going through all the pain. The mother is the one who is going through what will produce life. Life. Not death. You see, this is why even in this church, we have mourned over the miscarriages. Because that was life that a mother was bringing forth. It was life. It wasn't death. It was life. I can't even imagine what this is like for a mother. I mean, my wife and I have talked about this through the years. I can't even fathom what is going on. You have this life inside of you growing. And one day, you're going to produce it. As a matter of fact, when we look back in the idea of a mother, one of the definitions for this word in the Hebrew is point of departure. Isn't that interesting? It is from a mother that life departs into the world. Life. Mothers are the giver of life in in the earthly realm. We know ultimately it's God. But Adam did not name his wife Eve just because it was a pretty name. It's because it means life. Because she is the mother of the living. Now, when we think about this, we have to ask the question. So, you know, how do we see mothers ourselves? I mean, let's think about this. What we think about, and just look at a lot of the people who are out, you know, protesting abortion. It's all about the children. It's all about, they don't even think about the fact that that woman, that mother, doesn't understand that she is a life bearer. We only think about it in the light of murder. We only think about it in the light of death. That's where we err. Instead of seeing the glory of life. Life that can only be produced by a woman, by a mother. You see, if God would not have taken woman from man, Adam would have had a really rough time of filling the earth. It would have been impossible. Because the woman is the bearer of life. And we're going to look at this as we go towards the end of this message this morning to realize how much life a mother produces. But let's think about this for a minute, though. If this is true, if all these things we're talking about are true, how does God tell us to relate to mothers? You see, I do think that mothers are belittled by their children, by the world, by their husbands. Because they don't see the absolute value that a woman brings. But how does God see it? You know, us great men who were created to rule, to be responsible. Well, they're just women. Now, if it wasn't for a woman, you wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for your own mothers, you'd be non-existent. In the physical world, you owe your life to your mother. Children, are you thinking about this for a moment? Your father may be responsible for you, but there is no life without your mother. So how do we look at this? Look at Leviticus 19 for a moment, and let's see what God says about how children are to view their mothers. If, and again, I want you to remember, we got to be very careful when we think about the word children, and we're going to define it a little bit clearer here in a minute. We're not talking about Abraham and Eliana, Ava and Olive. Are they children? Yes, but that's not who he's addressing here. And we can see that very clearly. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel." Who's he talking about? All the congregation of the children of Israel. He didn't say, okay, bring all the kids in. I need the infants. You know, I need those teenagers. Is that who he's talking about? They're never addressed like that. The Ten Commandments are not addressing little children. It's addressing those who have the ability to comprehend and understand God, and most little children have no comprehension. Talking about us. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Be holy, for God is holy. Now he's going to tell you what to do. I find this fascinating. The very first thing he says, be holy, for I am holy, is what? Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Ooh, there's two things here that he's talking about. And the first thing he says, the first thing he tells you to do if you want to follow in holiness, revere your parents. And it does not say revere your father. It says revere your mother and your father. So a few weeks ago, we were talking about how a wife loves her husband. And this was the word used, revere. Oh, children, you are to look at your mother and your father with reverence, with fear, because they've been appointed to you for certain things. And when we talk about a mother, how do you not revere the one who bore you, the one who gave you life? All my children, I did not bear you. I did not. You didn't come from my womb. I didn't endure the pain. And the most beautiful thing about it is the joy that comes to a mother when that child arrives. After seeing her in the agony, and I'm not talking about just the agony of labor, which is pretty scary for a man to see. You can't do anything about it. But when it's all said and done, after 9 months of swelling legs, of morning sickness, of everything that comes along with it, women, you're better at explaining all that than I am. I've never had to suffer that way. And then to see the agony, the suffering, the fear in a woman's eyes when they are going through labor. But as soon as that baby comes into the world, as soon as that life shows itself to everyone else that that mother has been experiencing for 9 months, all of a sudden, countenance of the wife, of the mother, changes to joy, beaming over the life that she is continuing in the world. Understand this. When we think about mothers bearing children, we're thinking about, oh, look at my 5 children. This is awesome. No, they are the ones who continues the life in the world. Every child that is born comes from a woman. All life comes through the woman. My RS men starting to feel a little less proud, a little less elevated. Starting to realize, I think we better bring our wives up where they belong. Bringing our own mothers up where they belong. The producers of life. Think about this. And so he says, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere your mother. Do you look at your mother and go, I'm holding her up. I am setting her where she belongs as my mother. I'm revering her words. I'm revering her direction. She is the producer of life. She, my life came through her. When do you stop honoring that? When do you stop exalting that? It's beautiful. I will name my wife Life. Life. Can you look at your wife? Can you look at the mothers in this room and go, Life. Life. Listen to the life in this room right now. See, this is why I get upset when I see churches that remove life from their sanctuary. You know why? Because there's more life. The life in this room right now, in the littlest form, needs much more life than they have right now. Which, by the way, also came through a woman. Also came through a mother. They need to hear about that. But I am never disturbed by hearing the sounds of life in this sanctuary. How dare we hide them away because they interfere with me? This was life. This is the continuation of life. Maybe, well, there's only one in here that could be a pastor, but maybe the little ones in this room one day are going to have great, great effect upon the church of God. Great influence. Great work. This is the life that continues from mothers in this room. All my children are pretty well grown. I mean, even my youngest one is... he's grown, okay? He's not ready to be shot out of the quiver. But he's grown. And I can look at each one of them and go, wow. All the life came from my wife. She bore it. I would not have the joy of my children if it wasn't for the one God gave as the bearer of life. It's a little different sermon on Mother's Day, isn't it? I intended for it to be. I intended for us to understand how valuable, because the culture around us and the church around us despises mothers. Send the life that you have bore into a nursery where somebody else can take care of the life you brought into this world. We should be ashamed of ourselves for hiding life. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, I'm looking around this room and I see the young mothers holding life. Not a problem, but life. Can we rejoice over that? We take out of the laps of the mothers in the sanctuary the most precious thing that glories them. They've been given something very special. Let them sit in the church with their mothers, so their mothers glory will be seen. About the mother and what God did with her. It's an amazing reality that we see in this. And again, we look in Leviticus 20. Now listen to all this. Again, what is happening here? This is the second time that he is using the same terminology. He says, consecrate yourself, therefore. Be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. And you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And now we see a negative aspect of what we saw in chapter 19. For everyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He who has cursed his father or mother, his blood shall be upon him. I think God takes mothers pretty seriously. What do you think? Curse your mother and die. And how? Why is it that this seems to be such an important issue to God? He says, be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes, perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And he goes to parents. He goes to how you are to honor parents first. You see, we think about all these other things, but we forget that we are to honor, that we are to revere, that we are to recognize the responsibility and authority of the parents. Do you know why? You know why this is so important to God? Because we have been given the responsibility to raise those children to honor the authority of God. We spend too much time trying to conform our children into some ideal that we have in our own mind, instead of training them to respect and honor the authority that God has given the parents. Because if they can't respect their parents, they dishonor God. Be holy, for I am holy. The responsibilities of parenting is numerous, and it starts with teaching them how to respect and honor the authority of their parents. Not to beat them, to cause them to be afraid, but to revere you in the way that we are to revere God. So children in this room, guess what? Every one of us are a child. How about that? How do we honor our parents? How do we revere our parents? Especially today, we are talking about mothers. As we raised our children, one of the things that I did not want to ever happen, unknowingly. I mean, it was really just the way we did it. Some things we did that were just, you know, didn't understand at first until later on I learned things. But a mother who consistently tells her child, wait till your dad gets home. What do you mean, wait till your dad gets home? Revere your mother. You know, as parents, we're not perfect, okay? My wife and I have definitely not done everything right. And both my wife and I have, as we've raised our children, could look at each other and say, I don't think you did that quite right. But if there were ever disagreements, it didn't make a bit of difference to me. If my wife told my children to do something, even if I didn't necessarily agree with what she was saying, my answer to them is, what did your mom tell you? Because they are going to respect her. It's more important that they respect their mother and honor their mother. And here we see why. So that even before they are a believer, they are learning the holiness of God. They need to learn They need to learn that their mother deserves respect because God put her in that place. Not because she does everything right. A mother does not need to earn honor. As a matter of fact, she can't. She doesn't need to earn respect because she's not going to be right all the time. She's going to do the wrong thing. But God said, "Be holy, for I am holy. Revere your mother." And look, we can go further than this. As a matter of fact, another negative passage, just real fast, is in Deuteronomy 27:16. It says, "Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt." Do you treat your mother with contempt? And this is not age specific. And I will take it even further than this. You know, a lot of times when I'm having to counsel, it's very difficult sometimes because parents aren't perfect. And so I have to try to weigh a way to help somebody without sometimes disrespecting and dishonoring their parents. Because I would never tell someone, don't listen to your parent. Don't honor your parent. Even if they're an unbeliever. Because if I dishonor a mother, I've dishonored mothers, period. So I may honor the mother of my children, but I need to honor the mother of every child. Because remember, this all started with Eve, with life. And so we need to recognize it in that light, that we are to honor our mothers because God said it's holy. If you cannot honor your mother, if you cannot see your mother in light of what the scripture says, it's unholy. Don't argue with your mother. She may not always be right. Don't argue with her. Give her the respect that God says you owe her. Revere her. Let's look at a few Proverbs. Proverbs 23, starting in verse 22. "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she was old." Wait a minute. This is definitely talking about an adult child, isn't it? Do not despise your mother when she was old. Do you know how many young people think they know more than their parents? Do you know how many young people try to prove their parents wrong? It's unholy. It's unholy. I can't believe my mom said that. I can't believe my mom acts that way. She's your mother. She gave you life. Show her the honor and respect due her. We should all be ashamed of the way we've treated our mothers at times. Every one of us. Your mother never ceases to be your mother. Ever. The giver of life. Now, I want to finish a few of these because they all run together. "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he who begets the wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad. And let her who bore you rejoice." Do you work at causing your mother to rejoice over you? Or do you find ways to upset her? Do you find ways to discourage her? Listen to this, and especially when you consider it's all about wisdom. Well, what does that mean? Well, if we look at Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9, I think we learn a little bit more about the wisdom that he's talking about here, the truth that he's talking about here. My son, hear the instructions of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. So there seems to be an appearance here that there is more to the life that a mother brings than just that moment of birth. She's bringing life through her instructions to her children. Listen to your mom. She's been around a lot longer than you. I don't care how much education you got. It's kind of like marriage in one sense. The Word of God is very clear on who is the head of the home. The person that is responsible for every decision is the husband, not the smartest one. There are many women who are much more educated than their husband. But it doesn't give them the right. Does not give them the right to make the decision just because they think they're smarter. Or even they are smarter in areas. The responsibility falls on the husband. Same thing here. The responsibility of giving, continuing to give life to a child comes from the mother. We see this with Timothy, do we not? Did not Timothy learn about eternal life through his mom and his grandmother? Talk about bonding the family. Why do we not celebrate mothers in light of what God has given them? It's such a shame because the world looks the way it does because mothers, women have been despised in the past, well, and today. They've been despised at their calling, and women begin to look at themselves like they're less than. Why? Women, if you're thinking yourself as less than, you better rethink because you're the bearer of life. I don't know how you can get more valuable than that. Every man was born through a woman. The value is a matter of life and death. It truly is. You ever heard the saying, I brought you into this world, I can take you out? I mean, that's not totally true. But the truth is, a mother did bring the child into this world. The mother is the means that God uses to bring life. My son, hear the instructions of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and a chain about your neck. Who? Your mother and your father. Or do you despise the instructions they gave you when you were growing up? Do you despise the counsel they give you as adults? The scripture says you need to wear that around your neck. The way adult children can despise their parents is unholy. That's why the scripture says that in Leviticus. Be holy, for I am holy. Revere your mother. Revere your father. Be holy, for I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord who sanctifies. Everyone who curses his father or mother shall be put to death. Sanctification means revering your parents. That's part of our sanctification. How do we view mothers? That's the focus of today. How do we revere our mothers? How do we honor them? How do we glorify God? How do we live in holiness in relation to our mothers? They are more valuable than one can imagine. They are the bearer of life. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs 6:20, it says, "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake the law of your mother." Well, I've heard that before in another proverb, huh? "Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs and instruction are the way of life." Whose instruction are we talking about here? Whose reproof are we talking about right here? Your mother and your father. Your mother. Listen to what this proverb tells you. She gives you instruction so that it'll be a lamp for you. Now, granted, not every parent is going to do that very well because they're unbelievers. But a believing mother is going to instruct you in her understanding of the Word of God. Bind it around your neck. Look what it says, all of life. Well, who does this? Oh, it's my 3-year-old. No. Consider the instructions in your adult life. Don't think you're going to understand everything that your parents tell you in the experience of their life when you have not yet experienced everything they've experienced or understood. We are growing, each one of us. So take what the Word of God says. I mean, think about this for a moment. There was a king who revered his mother so much that he wrote it down and it became scripture. Proverbs 31:1. "The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him." This is a king who bound the instructions of his mother around his neck and shared it with the kingdom. And it became part of the Word of God. Do we understand that everything it's talking about here in Proverbs 31, which seems to be really messed up sometimes in people's minds, is the shared instruction by a king of his mother's teachings? Not his father's, his mother's teaching. And guess what she's teaching him about? Women. Sons, your mom can teach you a lot about women, what to look for. Talk about revering a mother, a king. "Mom, leave me alone. I'm the king. I don't need you to tell me anything. I'm the king." Well, if a king found such great wisdom from his mother, then who in the world are any of us not to find great wisdom of life from our mothers? If we are not careful, we live a life of unholiness when it comes to our mothers. They are the bearer of life. We started off in verse 20 of chapter 3 of Genesis. But this comes on the tail of the fall of man. It falls on the tail of a prophecy. Starting in verse 14, it says, "So the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle.' and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the man. That's not what he says. Between you and the woman. And between your seed and her seed, he shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The very first prophecy of Jesus Christ life. Eternal life was born through a woman. Galatians 4:4 says, starting in 4:4, but when the fullness of time came, God sent his son, born of a woman. The life of the Son of God came through a mother. The life that he was going to bring was eternal life, came through a mother, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because you are sons, why are we sons? Well, if it wasn't the fact that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the man, was born of a woman, we would not be sons of God. We would not have eternal life. We are sons because a mother gave birth to the Son, the man Jesus Christ, the Son of God in flesh, who gives us eternal life. You know, men can make great boast over their calling. It is men who are called to be pastors and elders. I can make a great boasting sound over the fact that I can be a pastor, not my wife. By the way, Jesus Christ came through a woman. Now we got some boasting. You see, there was no mistake in the beginning. There was no, it's not a coincidence that Adam called his wife's name Eve. He called his wife's name life. Us men ought to start feeling a little bit smaller about our calling. And women should start feeling a whole lot better about who you are in the eyes of God and how we should recognize that life comes through the woman. Even that which God gave us for eternal life. See how God uses this? I will put enmity between you and the woman. The woman. Do not despise your own value as a woman. God brought woman from man so that he could bring his son through the woman. Jesus Christ, matter of fact, here's the deal. If Jesus Christ could have come through a man, we're still going to hell. You know why? Because of God's order. Because of the way God created us. You see, you know what man produces through life? Sin. Adam bore sin into the world. The woman bore Jesus Christ into the world. How you feeling, men? Better start honoring the women who bore your children, because God designed that so he could bring the Savior into the world, because sin came through the man and not the woman. Because we are the ones responsible. We are the ones accountable. We are the ones that pass that on from generation to generation. The woman was created in subordination to the man. Therefore, she is not responsible. But she's the one God used to save man who brought sin into the world. Even though Eve took the fruit first, it was Adam that was responsible for the sin because he was the one responsible also for his wife. Praise God. When we look at this whole thing, it is an amazing. I mean, I don't know how anyone can read the Bible and go, wow, this is just made up. Well, I'd like to meet the author because it's one of the most phenomenal books that's ever been written. And if any person has this type of ability to put this kind of imagination together without detailed explanation, but only as things are revealed, amazing. The very creation of man, male and female, was created in the way it was created, that when man fell, he would send the Redeemer, born into this world by a woman. Stop demeaning your wives. Stop demeaning your mothers. Without them, we're going to hell. Women, stop demeaning yourselves. Stop thinking you've got to be something else. What more do you need? What more glory do you need? Men do not bear life. Women do. Mothers, the bearer of earthly life, the bearer of the one who brought eternal life. What a glorious, glorious exaltation of the one who was created subordinate. Do we have any more questions about whether or not the value of woman is equal to man? Maybe exceeds it? I don't know. Consider your mothers in light of Scripture, in light of the bearer of life. Without her, there is no life in this world. That's God's design, God's purpose. Let us rejoice over our mothers. Let us esteem our mothers. I mean, when it talks about living with our wives as a precious vessel, and we begin to understand this, how much more precious can a vessel be? Finest of all possessions. Worth more than any other earthly thing is the woman. Let's honor her and glorify her as the bearer of life. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you now and praise you. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life, which truly began in Genesis, when you allowed life to continue to flow, even after sin, being born through the woman throughout all of history, to that very point when time had fulfilled itself and you brought your Son, the bearer of eternal life, through a woman, through a virgin, and she mothered the Savior of your special called people. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.